In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'd like to share a subject with you today in your hospital room or in the privacy of your home or maybe behind prison walls, because we really do appreciate you choosing to view the armor of God, but you might be just tuning in by accident. And the subject I'd like to share with you today is an elementary story. That is, it's rudimentary. It is foundational. You know, in the process of doing these programs, whether Charles, Vance, Bill, myself, or others who are also involved with the armor of God comes to you and presents subject matter to you, we make an assumption, or we choose to realize or hope that you have some familiarity with this book called the Bible. But I have a feeling that sometimes the Bible can be a very confusing document. It's very much like a puzzle, a conundrum. And I have a Bible here to try to make this illustration for you. It's an old Bible. It's gone through some water damage and all of that. But on the cover, you see the word Holy Bible. It happens to be a new international version. Holy Bible. I want you to think of this as a box. And inside of this box, called Holy Bible, are puzzle pieces, words, if you will. But they are all pieces to a puzzle. Now, perhaps when you were growing up, or maybe even as a parent now, or grandparent, you take opportunities with children and grandchildren to put together puzzles. Initially, when they're younger, you start out with puzzles with huge pieces, maybe 25 pieces at the most, and then you graduate to 100 pieces, and then 200, and 300, 500, and all the way up to 1,000 or more pieces. And you realize that the more pieces that are in that box, the more difficult it is to put the puzzle together. And that analogy is apt when we talk about the Bible, thinking of it as a box with puzzle pieces inside. The problem is that in a puzzle, there's a picture usually always on the front of the box to indicate what the finished product will look like. But there's no help like that with the Bible. Here's the box. Here are the puzzle pieces. What should the box or the picture or the finished product look like? Here's where we want to help you today. First of all, I'm going to tell you about the material we're offering. The booklet is entitled How to Study Your Bible. It's written by a father and son, Lloyd Carey and Darren Carey, both of them very studious about the Bible. And so this booklet is available. It has two parts to it. In fact, the two parts will indicate to you how to mark your Bible, as well as how to study it, mentioning some Bible helps and all of that. And then we have a four-series tape, or a four-set tape of the Book of Revelation by Van Stinson. You'll receive the first part and then a coupon to re-up, if you will, or to reorder the additional parts of this presentation, because I'm sure that many of you are curious about what the Book of Revelation is all about. My point is that the Bible can be a very confusing document. And so I want to share this material with you, and you can just call toll-free 1-888-578-8791 to obtain it. More about that later. But on to the subject today about studying the Bible and how to study it and why study it and all of that. You know, there are so many scriptures in the Bible that encourage study, encourage meditation, encourage digging deep into this box of puzzles in order to ascertain what the true picture is all about. Now, I'd like to turn first to 2 Timothy, the second chapter and verse 15. Many of you who are Bible scholars, or at least proficient enough in the Bible, probably can quote this scripture by memory. It says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So you are to study the word of truth. And that is exactly what this document, this book, purports to be, the word of truth. Now, where do you start to study? How do you begin? Do you start at the beginning? Normally, that's how you begin reading a book. You start at the beginning and we read all the way through. But I've been told, and perhaps it was even my experience as a youth, starting reading the Bible and you get to that old King James language, to the begets, and you get bogged down with the begets. The begets get to you and you can't continue on because you're just not interested in all that genealogy. And some of you perhaps like to read over and over again the different Bible stories. Maybe it's about David and in the lion and the bear, or David with Goliath, or perhaps Daniel in the lion's den, or some other story from the Old Testament. Or maybe you just like to deal with the New Testament. So when Paul writes to this young evangelist Timothy and tells him to study, remember that he is a minister. That is, Timothy is an evangelist, being encouraged by his fellow minister to study, to show himself approved unto God, that he be a right kind of workman who needs not be ashamed. Aha, you say, see, it doesn't apply to me, it's just to the ministry. My friends, how will you know if the minister is telling you the truth if you don't study for yourself? How do you know that what we tell you on the armor of God is gospel or is true to the word of God, the word of truth? You have to spend time doing it. You simply can't sit and listen or watch and assume that it's true. You know, if you break the word assume down, you come up with an interesting little notion. I'll just leave that aside. Now you can break it down in your own time. That puzzle, you can take apart and see what I'm talking about. But now, for you to assume that, well, I don't really have time to study, what's it to you? Is eternal life worth studying or spending time looking into this word and ascertaining the truths thereof? Look at what it says. You need not be ashamed. Many people I know, when asked a question relative to the Bible, are ashamed that they don't know the answer. They say things like, well, I don't remember scripture too well, or I don't know where to find that in the Bible, or perhaps I could give you my minister's number and you can call him, or here's this booklet that will help explain what I can't explain to you. Well, friends, that is not the right approach. That's not the right response for you to have, for me to have. You must be able to determine what you know and why you know it. That's why studying the Bible is so important. It's the basis of this program, the armor of God. In fact, there's a scripture that indicates that there's a implement, there's a battle implement, if you will, that you need to have. And it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You need to be equipped with that in order to fight battles with Satan or with his henchmen or with those who are unlearned in the scriptures who attempt to wrest it and twist it. Notice what it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are people who do not divide it correctly or rightly. There's an analogy the Bible uses that the word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword, cutting asunder and dividing between bone and marrow. You have to have this in your arsenal in order to be fully armed and fully equipped in the armor of God. There's another scripture that Paul mentions here in this same letter to young Timothy. I think you're going to find this very interesting. In chapter 3 and verse 16 of the same book, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, here's what Paul further identifies to this young evangelist. He says to him, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that all scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. God dwells in the scripture. No matter how confusing they may be, or how controversial they may be, or how seemingly, and I underline the word seemingly, contradictory they may be, God is in there, and you must begin to ascertain the truth of what the scriptures say. Look at what it further says. These scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, I find that very interesting, don't you? These four things are a benefit from studying the Word of God: reproof, for doctrine, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Do you want to know how to live a better life? Do you want to be corrected by the Word of God, or find the basis of doctrine, that is, why you believe what you believe, based on the Word of God, not what you feel, or what somebody told you, or what you kind of dreamed up? It's important, my friends, that you begin to be equipped with the tools, the instrumentality to be a well-rounded individual in the Word. Here's a side point I must make about this verse. When Paul tells Timothy all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, now, which part of the Bible you think he might have been referring to? Do you think he was talking about this personal letter to Timothy that he wrote? Or perhaps he was thinking about the book of Matthew, which didn't exist at the time that Paul was writing this letter? Or if it did exist, it was not viewed as biblical or part of the Bible. Do you realize that the only Scripture that existed at the time that Paul is writing to Timothy is what we call the Old Testament? Now, that will make you scratch your head just a little bit, because haven't you heard from some ministers that the Old Testament is irrelevant and done away with? What are you going to do about that? You see, when you read this Scripture here in 2 Timothy, you are equipped to realize that the Old Testament has such relevance and such continuity that the New Testament is comprised of perhaps about a third quotations out of the Old Testament. You find Jesus Christ quoting Scripture out of the Old Testament. You find the Apostle Paul in his writings quoting out of the Old Testament. So it would behoove a Bible scholar or a Bible student to spend just a little time in that Old Testament to figure out what's going on there. Now, in this analogy about a puzzle, there's a Scripture back in Isaiah that I want you to turn to. It's Isaiah 28. If you can't turn to it in your Bibles, perhaps you're driving and listening to a recording from our internet source or from our website. In that case, write down Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. And here's what you'll find in this passage, because Isaiah is recording what God thinks about revelation, that is, through his word. Here's what he says: "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" This is the question. Who am I going to teach? God says. "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" Now, what I'm getting at today in this program is, how will you know how to evaluate what you hear on this program in doctrinal areas? We talk about questions like, should you observe Easter? Should you observe Christmas? What about the reward of the saved? Is the Sabbath really important to God? Those kinds of questions. Now, you can have a feeling about it based on something you heard when you were a child in kindergarten or Sunday school, but what is the truth of the matter? Now, be careful. When you go to ask your minister some of these questions, they're going to give you generally the party line. But how will you know the party line is biblical or true, or if it is a distortion? How will you know what we are saying to you is not a distorted view? This is why you have to study, because here's how God responds to the question of how will they obtain knowledge? How will they come to understand doctrine? He says, and this is the answer as to who will obtain knowledge and who will understand doctrine: "Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast," that is, removed from the breasts. What does that mean? Well, that's for a person who's grown up. You no longer need to have that milk of the Word. Now you need to get into the meat of the Word, and that requires a decision. That requires a conscious notion that I'm grown up. It's time for me to move from the 25-piece puzzle all the way up to the 1,000-piece puzzle, or perhaps even larger, because the Bible has a number of pieces to it, thousands of pieces that you have to learn to put together. Notice what it further says in chapter 28 and verse 10. "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." I can't help but think about the puzzle notion. You see, you have the puzzle pieces spread out on the table. And if you're like me, and like many, you try to get the outline first, the borders of the puzzle put together in order to begin filling in the pieces within the puzzle. You see, because then you can begin to have the puzzle take shape, and you can eliminate all the straight edged lines and so forth. So what do puzzle makers do? They make a circular puzzle, a round puzzle now, so that you can have a little more difficulty. But the point is that you have a plan. You have a laid out step-by-step procedure, precept upon precept, line upon line. But here's what God goes on to say. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. In other words, God has made the puzzle of his word a little more difficult as you get older and mature in the word. It's one thing to memorize something like Jesus loved me or Jesus wept. I remember when we used to have prayers around the dinner table and we had to quote scriptures. How many of us as children chose to memorize the little line, Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible? I think it's in John 11. So we would try to do that, but then maybe we thought, well, I can learn John 3:16. For God so loved the world, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so we commit to memory those things that are easy. Those are the little pieces of the puzzle. But to learn how to put the entire puzzle together, here's why it's difficult. It goes on to say, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing that they would not hear. In other words, they are people who are obstinate or resistant to continuing and putting this puzzle piece together. They get confused. They get to a place in the Bible somewhere, and the confusion is so overwhelming. How can I use this illustration? Well, you're watching the armor of God right now, but perhaps before we came on the air or after we came over the air, there was another program or two that you might view. And perhaps there's an entire religious station or satellite or network that you watch continually, or you listen on the radio, or you receive material and booklets and tapes from all kinds of resources. That's all good. But somewhere along the line, you must admit that you are confused because you don't know what this picture that the Bible purports to present to you looks like. That's why it's important then that you begin to equip yourself with learning how to study the Bible, how to mark your Bible, how to make disparate parts relevant to you, and how to take the stories of the Bible and apply them personally to your life. What will you do about that? Here's what it goes on to say in this passage. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. These repetitious statements means it's intense, these precepts and these lines. And the difficulty is even more tense to ascertain the truth of the matter. It goes on to say this, here a little and there a little. I remember putting puzzles together, don't you, where somebody says, ooh, here's the piece that's been missing. In fact, I must confess that I used to hold out a piece every now and then so I'd have the last piece and get the credit for putting together the end piece of the puzzle. Anybody out there? Am I the only one who ever did that? Sure, we've all done it. But the fact is that we on the armor of God do not want to hold back from you any piece of the puzzle. Any that we have discovered, we want to put it on the table and then help assemble the picture more clearly so we can understand exactly what God is doing, not only in the world, but in your life and my life. This is intense, my friends. It is so important and so vital that we understand this. And here is what God says in talking about this here a little and there a little. He says, that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared and taken. Now, why would God do that? Why would he make it so difficult for us to understand what he's talking about? Well, you see, that's for the hard-hearted individual. That's one who, as they say, has got a thick noggin. They just don't want to know. They don't want to get the picture. And you know that sometimes a child gets frustrated. Mommy, Daddy, I don't want to do this puzzle anymore. Let's do something else, because they're having trouble putting it together. That's when someone who is mature and older then comes alongside to be a guide to help them. And the greatest guide we have is the Holy Spirit. That's the Paracletos that Christ promised that would help come to us. And he said that Spirit would lead us to all truth, all the truth that is embedded in this book, this box, this puzzle that comes to us by divine fiat, by the inspiration, the indwelling of God Almighty. What shall I say to you then? What's my encouragement to you today? You have to study the Word of God for yourself. Hear further in Isaiah 40, just before we are able to leave you today. Isaiah 40, a very famous passage of Scripture. Here's what it says in verse 6. The voice said, "Cry and say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass." But here's the verse, so important. "The grass withereth, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." It doesn't matter what theologians say about it. It doesn't matter how many denominations can come into existence. It doesn't matter how many people misappropriate and misquote and misuse this word. It still will stand. And the most important thing for you to obtain from your study, well, it's simple. You will obtain liberation. You will be freed from all of the talking and haranguing back and forth from all of the denominational interests, all of the political exigencies, and all of the theologians who propound their little brand. And I know I open myself up. We here on the Armor of God open ourselves up to that same kind of scrutiny. But if you want to be liberated from blindness and from foolishness, and to be stimulated, liberated, stimulated, invigorated, if you will, to ascertain the truths of this Bible. Because once you have obtained liberation, you can move to a beautiful state of illumination. You will have your eyes wide open. You will begin to say, I never understood that. Just like when you find that piece of the puzzle, when you're putting it together and you say, here's the part that's been missing. This is the part we need. Now we can go on to the other parts to make out this picture of what it's all about. And then, once you have received illumination, you become elevated. You move up to a higher plane of understanding. It's like leaving the milk of a mother's breasts, and now you're going to enjoy a nice steak, a nice, good, well-prepared piece of fish, or something like that, which you could not digest when you were a child. So very important. And then once you become elevated, my friends, up to a higher level, then you become obligated to make a response. And that's what we're about on this program. We want to hear from you. We want to receive your phone call. We want to give you the free material that we have. Today's program, How to Study Your Bible, is the booklet, the tape, the Book of Revelation, dealing with the subjects in the Book of Revelation in four parts. You can have it by a toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you require illumination, further understanding, and trying to get to understand the true picture of what the Bible is all about, then make that toll-free call. I'll be here, and my colleagues will be here next time for more presentations here on the Armor of God. So stay tuned right now. Listen to my colleague, and don't forget.
Well, there you go. Precept upon precept and line upon line, here a little, there a little. You know, Mr. James today explained to us that the Bible is constructed much like a jigsaw puzzle. And in many respects, that's so true. I mean, you go to a store and you buy a puzzle, you're pretty much assured that all the pieces of the puzzle are in that particular box. Well, the Bible is the same way in this respect, that we are assured that we have all the pieces of the puzzle of God's program of salvation located right here in this particular box. That's right. Everything that God intended mankind to understand about the puzzle of salvation is located right here, whether it's correction, reproof, instruction, or doctrine, it's located in the particular box of this puzzle. However, unlike a puzzle, that is a jigsaw puzzle, there's no picture on this cover, as you can see and certainly understand, and therein lies the first challenge for many of us Christians today. Because unless we take the time to really explore in a committed fashion the pieces of this puzzle, this book is going to remain a mystery for many of us for many, many years. And that's why Mr. James encouraged all of us to take some time, explore the pieces that are located in this box, this puzzle box, and study it in spirit and in truth. And I know many of you may say, well, yeah, but therein lies another challenge, correct? And that is so true, because this picture, the picture that's located in this particular puzzle, has been distorted. Oh yeah, my friends, that's right. For generations, men and women and cultures have maligned, twisted, and confused this particular picture of this particular puzzle. That's right, for millennia, men have been trying to force pieces of this particular puzzle to fit their own personal and cultural agendas. And as a result, an alternative gospel has emerged onto the world scene and unfortunately has confused and continued to distort and to essentially give man a gospel that has been constructed by contemporary secularism and tradition. And you may say, well, now how has that happened? And why has it happened? Well, I'll explain it to you, my friends. For many years, people like you and me have not taken the time to truly explore the pieces of this particular puzzle and consequently come to understand just exactly what God had in mind concerning His program of salvation. And that's exactly why you need to call right now, 888-578-8791, and ask for the brochure that we're offering free of charge. It's a free educational service to you, How to Study Your Bible, along with the tape, Revelation Part 1 by Van Stinson. It's a four-part series. We're going to go ahead and send you Part 1. We'll give you a coupon. You send it back to us, we'll send you Part 2 and so on. And finally, you'll get all four parts if you send your coupons back. Don't forget to make it clear to the operator as well what format you prefer, CD and or cassette. 888-578-8791. We've got operators standing by. In the meantime, this is Bill Watson telling you, my friends, to consider the pieces of the puzzle and truly, seriously look at how you may fit into the picture.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.